The Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit is sponsored by James Oliver Coffee Company at jamesolivercoffee.com. James Oliver is a second-generation family-owned and Detroit-based coffee roaster offering 19 different blends of freshly roasted coffee. The company pioneered link temperature roasting, and they source the best beans from around the world to create an outstanding coffee experience no matter which beans you choose. To start, try the Alma Mater blend. James Oliver Coffee gives $5 for each bag of its alma mater blend to the Detroit Public Schools Foundation. And don't forget, use the promo code CFSHOW, that's CFSHOW, to get 15% off your first order. James Oliver Coffee, available at select grocery stores in Metro Detroit and, of course, at jamesolivercoffee.com. Remember, use the promo code CFSHOW to get 15% off your first order. That's jamesolivercoffee.com. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Craig Folly Show on Deadline Detroit. Glad to have you with me on this Thursday. And we are, what, day three now of the new school year? Technically day three, the new school year for most students. Some went back a little bit earlier, but it is not a typical first week of school. Obviously, many students are virtual learning these days. Some are doing hybrid. Some are doing in-person. The vast majority of people that I've seen, though, are definitely going the virtual route, at least to start the school year. And I thought it would be a good idea to talk to a couple of parents and students to find out how it's going so far, what they are learning, what they might not be learning, and how things have changed since we started doing this last spring, to be honest with you. So I'd like to welcome my guest today. Elizabeth Findus is with me. She, of course, is a Detroit resident. She has three children, two of them, 16-year-old and 14-year-old boys at U of D High. And, of course, we also have an 11-year-old. And, Elizabeth, where's your 11-year-old going?
Well, my 11-year-old just started her new school at University Prep Art and Design. Right here in Midtown.
I know exactly where that is. Very good. And also, I have with me Tamara Smith and her daughter, Blake Hearn. Blake is a student at Cass Tech. Welcome to both of you as well.
Hi.
Well, I guess the first question is going to be for Blake. Virtual learning, how's it going so far? Because, you know, parents complain about screen time all the time. You're getting a ton of it right now.
Yeah. It's going okay. There have been, you know, different interruptions, definitely problems with internet, all of that. It's definitely not as easy as it sounds. It's going pretty good. I'm kind of already used to it, but I think it's a struggle for everyone.
Yeah, I can imagine that it is. And, Elizabeth, let's talk about this for just a second. I mean, for the parents, you've got three kids. Making sure that 16 and 14-year-old boys are sticking to their studies is difficult enough. Add an 11-year-old to the mix. It seems like it's a new layer of parenting that maybe we didn't have to worry about as much before.
Well, that's certainly true enough. Luckily, my husband is able to remotely work from home. So there is some sort of like parental oversight, but, you know, having three kids and making sure they're doing their studies can be quite difficult. However, one of the things that the schools have done, and they started doing this before COVID, pre-COVID, is they do have an online platform for parents to check in to see how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And the schools have been excellent in terms of communicating with the parents what's going on. So basically, as a parent, if you have to be at work, you have to make sure that you're doing your due diligence and following up your kids online with what they're doing.
And Tamara, I'm guessing it's probably a similar experience for you at this point. I mean, you know, how are you monitoring this? How much of your day is taken up to make sure that Blake is where she needs to be?
Well, fortunately, we did have a little bit of a head start, mid-March, towards the end of that school year. Kind of getting back into the groove. Blake has done a number of activities virtually all summer. From art classes with Pratt in New York to six or seven ballet classes virtually, that she's doing that keep her engaged other than 8 to 3:20 in school. Obviously this is her lunch break, so we were able to, snag her in on this. But she's been really self-motivated. Seems to be engaging well. Most of her teachers seem to be adjusting to the platform pretty well. There's a couple that it's a little bit of a struggle, for them. to engage virtually. But I think that, Blake has been doing a good job of maintaining her schedule and participating, being able to participate still in class as if she were there in the platforms that Cass is using, you know, to educate the kids.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do want to ask a little bit, because obviously we were all thrown into this last spring when the schools were shut down and they went to virtual learning. They've now had a few months to prepare, knowing that this was a real possibility. And anybody can answer this one, but have you noticed a difference in terms of their level of preparedness at the schools for this type of learning compared to the spring?
Yes, absolutely.
So Blake, you're smiling about this, but tell me what the difference is.
Well, last school year, I should say, we took like about a month, I think, maybe break, like before they had any sort of like idea of what they were doing. And even then it wasn't that organized. We didn't have, obviously, I still had like my textbooks and stuff from when we were in-person learning. But this year, now they have had computers going out to each of the students all summer. Yesterday, my mom went and picked up some workbooks and a reading book and like some other notebooks for my classes. They're definitely much more prepared. They also have it kind of set up better, I think. Like so that it's all virtual, which is nice. They have, at least in my school, I know that they're using the school itself as a learning center. So for kids that don't have good Wi-Fi or good internet, they can go in there, be socially distanced, wear a mask, and they'll basically be on the computer, like taking their school, but they'll be physically in the school. They still get breakfast and lunch and all that. So they're definitely much more prepared.
Well, that's, you know, something that I talked to Dr. Vitti about earlier this summer when he was on the program, just about how much work had to go into making sure that this platform and the curriculum was going to be something that worked. Elizabeth, you've got, of course, the private school side of this and the charter school side of this. What has it been like for you? Have you noticed a difference in terms of their level of preparedness for this?
Well, for U of D, last spring, the transition was very easy as opposed to the charter school that we were previously at. U of D already has an online platform, essentially, where the students will go online in the morning to look at what their assignments are, and the teachers will do their teaching during the day, and then the students will go back into that platform, download the assignments, do them, and then submit them electronically. So there was already a large portion of an electronic platform that was working, tried and true, that was already set up. So essentially, I think spring break only went maybe like an extra week or so when we took it, and there wasn't a huge lag time. I mean, the kids were back in school, they were given time to go and get their books and everything out of their locker, and essentially, the students were given Zoom links, and they were Zooming. I mean, they were totally Zooming by the end of March, and it was business as usual, and everything was submitted because they already had like an online platform already established. So that was, U of D, in my opinion, was ahead of the curve in terms of a lot of the other schools that I heard about. In terms of the charter school that we were at, and I can't really say anything for you, UPrep Art Design, because we weren't there, so I don't know. I do know this, as a new parent, having a transfer in, their platform and what they're doing regarding the Chromebooks and getting information out and the online platform they're using, Schoology, and I think there's another one, PowerSchool. Those two platforms that they're using are very good platforms. And so far there haven't been any issues whatsoever. I mean, the schools know what a challenge it is, you know, especially in the city where, you know, some people have internet, some people don't. You know, you just hope and pray that AT&T shows up and does their job sometimes. So it's been a challenge, but at least from a new parent's point of view, I mean, this school has done a great job, and they've been very proactive. Now, the previous school, again, nobody knew what was going on. It was very difficult. as a parent, I found it a bit frustrating. There was no actual, they tried doing a platform, but all the teachers were using different things. Some were using Zoom, some were using PowerSchool, some were using Teams. It was a bit of a nightmare, but they did the best they could. I mean, sure. So you try, and unless you try, you won't know if it works or not. It was a great experiment, and I'm hoping that maybe this coming year from our previous charter school, because we have lots of friends that are still there, I hope that this year is a great year for them and that they have found a platform that'll work for them.
Well,
the teachers tried very hard.
You know, one of the things that I've been wondering about, and, you know, I just remember, my high school years, Blake, to be very social time for me. I mean, I had a lot of fun in high school and probably affected my ability to go to certain colleges, but that's okay. But, you know, that's a huge part of that experience, seeing your friends, being social, being there in person for learning. And Blake, I'm wondering from your perspective, do you feel like you're getting as much out of the lessons each day as you would be if you were there in person?
I think that I'm definitely getting a lot out of it. But you're right when you say, like, there's just a certain je ne sais quoi that's been, like, taken out of the school day. You know, like, I can't really be, like, talking to my friends during class or, you know, do that kind of thing.
Clubs.
I don't have like any clubs going on. I'm kind of dependent on like lines that I have to my friends, like texting them normally or, you know, because obviously or FaceTime, mm-hmm. whatever, because I can't like either really go out with them either. So it's just kind of, it's definitely feel like a little bit like more shut off, a little bit like more like I'm contained. But I do think that I'm getting a lot out of the lessons. I think that online learning is not that different from in-person learning in that aspect of me being able to actually learn. It's just, I feel it's a lot less fun.
are there certain subjects, though, that lend themselves to this platform better than others? I mean, I can imagine that, you know, math class for me was like living hell anyway. I can imagine online being even worse. But, you know, a history class or a literature class, we're able to actually have discussions, you might not lose as much. Am I right about that?
Yeah. For my, so far from the about 2.5 days I've had in school so far, definitely math is just a little bit harder. We've been given online textbooks for most of our stuff. So that also kind of makes it even harder. It's harder to stare at a screen and try and figure things out rather than, you know, looking at a piece of paper and be able to work it out. It's definitely a lot harder in that aspect. But I found that English is much easier, and also I'm taking civics. That is also good, and same with biology. But pretty much everything else is a little bit harder.
Sounds like a fun schedule. But you know, I want to ask this question of the moms here, because Tamara, it seems to me that the one thing that you are actually getting to experience is something that I did not get to experience with my son, in that, you know, I wasn't there with him at school every day. I didn't see when he was struggling, when he was doing well, when he was getting it. He ended up doing really well and is in a good school now. But at the same time, you're getting to witness when your child is frustrated. Are you starting to sense when she's getting things, when she's not?
We, you know, had pretty good communication skills about that anyway, even when she was had in-person learning, and she's a good student, you know. Is anal about note-taking and organization as perhaps I would have been, but that's okay. You know, everybody, you know, finds their own way. You know, for me as a parent, you know, we're talking about the different platforms. To them, it's nothing. You know, they don't care if it's Google Teams or Zoom or Schoolology or, you know, Edmodo or PowerSchool. They don't care how many platforms they have to communicate, you know, with their teachers and with their classmates, or how they have to submit their assignments. That's easy for this generation. That for us, it's kind of, I'm like, how many platforms are we using here? You know, it's just a little bit overwhelming. But to give a little bit of props to Detroit Public Schools, and particularly Cass, at the end of last semester, the biggest bummer for her was that the last quarter was pass-fail. You know, and she had these excellent grades going into, you know, pre-COVID, so she was a little bummed about that. But there were some teachers, in particular, the younger teachers, that from day one, you know, in particular, her math teacher, Mr. Grable, he's younger, you know, 28, 29, new teacher, a couple years in, he was in contact with his kids from day one. And so I had already put her on an independent study schedule, not knowing when virtual learning was going to get back up. And it just kind of all meshed together. So, you know, some of these teachers are just stellar, you know, in making sure that these kids are getting what they need.
Well, yeah.
Elizabeth, I want to sort of ask you a follow-up on that a little bit. I mean, you know, we are getting a chance to spend a lot more time together as families, learning a little bit more, especially teenagers. I mean, teenagers are notoriously secretive about things that are going on in their lives. Are you learning a little bit more about your children as a result of this?
No. We have open doors in our home. Mm-hmm. Mommy always finds out. It's the lesson my teen boys are learning every day. Well, even my daughter too, she's no angel at times. But no, I don't necessarily think that that's the case. You know, we're a pretty open family. I know my kids as well as I hope I can know my kids. I mean, how well do you actually know a person? I mean, you try. Mm-hmm. But you know, they're pretty good. I don't have to really over communicate with them. They know what the expectation is because they know what they know what's going to happen if they don't follow through.
Well, and the reason I brought this up, is there's a study that just came out today that suggested that there's almost a double digit decline in number of high school age kids who are vaping. And I said, yeah, that's because they're all stuck at home. They can't vape. Mom and dad aren't going to let them vape in the house. So that's one positive that's coming out of this, I guess. But you know, I do want to sort of get a sense as to what is going to make everybody here comfortable to go back. What is it going to take for you to sit there and go, you know what, I'm ready to send my daughter or my sons back to school. Tamara, you're shaking your head.
No, no. I just don't see that it's going to be safe for anything other than our family unit for a long time to come. I was actually in the school yesterday for a meeting with some staff, and you know, there's three of us in a very large room. but it is. I think even the mixed consensus in the school community on when it's going to be safe. Particularly with kids, you know, they are social animals. They are, you know, have a need to be, you know, close together. They are they're invincible, you know, nothing's going to happen, you know, to them. You know, Blake tends to be, you know, a little bit more cautious and, you know, concern as parents through this is that they're not getting traumatized by fear, you know, but we still have to be very cautious. And I'm not going to be comfortable this school year, at least, going back. And I'll have to wait and see what happens next September.
Elizabeth, what about you?
No, I agree with Tamara. I mean, it's, you know, it was a very hard decision in my family to do a hybrid. And it was really because my middle child is this social creature who needs social interaction. And it's very important to him. And, you know, him being a freshman in high school where he didn't know me, a lot of kids at all. So it was very important for him to go and have that experience, if you will. It's a catch 22. I feel like my kids, all three of them, they would prefer to be in school, but they do know about the risks of COVID. I mean, you just can't beat in-person teaching. And like is some of the labs, like for the science classes, how can you put those aside? I mean, you have to be able to do hands-on work for some of these things. And it's difficult for a parent to know what that child needs and not be able to give it to them, in terms of like being able to send them to school. I personally, you know, like I said, I have a very hard time right now doing this hybrid schedule. I have one that's doing virtual. My daughter, she's doing virtual. That's no problem. I'm going to have my eldest son. He's doing hybrid. However, I'm going to switch him over to virtual. But for my middle child, I thinking I may have to stay with this hybrid only because of a couple of classes, like a computer programming class. Mm-hmm. How do you Zoom that? How do you teach a programming class if when there's so many? I mean, I never took a programming class at all.
Oh, I did. I did miserably.
But how do you Zoom? How do you do a programming class online with a student that wasn't coming from a private school, that was coming from a public school? Mm-hmm. I don't know of any charter. I'm sure there is, but I don't know of any charter or Detroit public school that has the facilities or capabilities of doing computer programming as in an elementary level. Maybe there is, I just don't know of one. So now we're faced with doing this particular class, and it's like, well, it's a requirement for graduating. You can't fail this class, so you have to go. So, well, I mean, it is difficult, and it's going to be a long time before I feel really comfortable about it. I think what it comes down to is basically the administration on all levels, no matter what school, private, public, or charter, they're doing the best that they can do. They're doing the best for their teachers, the faculty, the students, and for their own mindset, mm-hmm. as well. And their fiduciary responsibilities to their authorizers and what have you. But at the end of the day, like, you can't control a family. You know, you can't control a student. And if a student is going to school and for whatever reason they were exposed by somebody who had COVID and they didn't know, it's like a domino effect.
Well, I want to ask Blake about that for just a second, Blake, because you're one of the people we're talking about here. And there's been a lot of discussion about what's happening on college campuses around the country, how kids are socializing, not taking this seriously. From your perspective, how willing do you think students would be to follow the rules, wear masks, be socially distant? Do you think it's doable? Do you have enough faith in yourself and your fellow students to actually do this in a responsible way?
Well, I personally am a very cautious person and take this very seriously. I take the virus very seriously. I'm already a food allergy kid, so I'm already very cautious about things that I touch and what I'm eating and who I'm around and so forth. So most of this, like the protocols, are not super like new for me. I'm very willing to wear a mask. I honestly would love to be in in-person school, but I know that it's just not safe and I would rather not take the risk. I know most of my friends would probably be very willing, would do it fine, you know, would be like, I would love to be an in-person, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to make it safe for everyone. But I know a handful of kids in my classes that were already saying like that it's dumb and that they don't want to wear a mask because it's uncomfortable and they don't want to have to get a COVID test to come back because it might hurt and stuff like that. Like just dumb little things. And I'm just, I just don't understand it personally. I don't get why you wouldn't want to just participate so that everything gets better. But
well, I mean, and let's just sort of finish up on this, though, because, again, this is your education. This is your high school experience right now. And of course, Cass Tech is one of the great high schools in Michigan. Do you feel like this has sort of been taken away from you a little bit?
Yes, definitely. I'm in my sophomore year. Last year, I had a great time in person with my friends and meeting new people and everything. And then it kind of all just went away really quickly. I felt like I was sort of left in the dust a little bit there. This year, I mean, I was expecting it to be online, so I'm not as disoriented, but I definitely am sad in a way that I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of things that I would love to be doing, because even if we still weren't like in person, I'm still not able to like actually go out with my friends outside of school. So that's even like an added thing where I would be fine with online school, you know, because I'd still be able to hang out with my friends, but I can't, because it's not safe and we wouldn't be able to go anywhere anyways. So,
all right. Well,
kind of double whammy.
We've got to wrap this up because we've been going for quite a while, and I want to give the moms an opportunity to chime in on this as well. So, we'll start with you on this one, Tamara. I mean, that same sort of question as a mom watching your daughter have to miss out on some of the things that you got to experience. How's that making you feel?
Well, you know, it's a little, heartbreaking, you know. As she referenced, you know, in her freshman year, she made all these, you know, great friends, and, you know, they took the bus to go, you know, whatever, get a Bobo or whatever it is that teenagers do. And, you know, they were able to be independent, and it was nice to see that growth. That self-confidence, you know, that they get, you know, from being independent. So a little bit of that is, you know, kind of been ratcheted back. So I wish that kind of life experience, you know, could be continued. And so that is a little heartbreaking that kids just can't do, you know, what they want to do. You know, you can't just go get on your bike and go hang out at your girlfriend's house, you know, you just can't do it. So, I think she's adjusted pretty well. And I think that being at home, has always been a safe place, you know, kind of what Elizabeth was talking about, you know, where we know what's going on as best we can with our kids anyway. And so, you know, we've been proactive and doing things as a family anyway. Now we just do them at home instead of somewhere else.
Well, Elizabeth, about 30 seconds left here. So I just want to know how you're feeling watching your kids have to miss out on things.
Sad. Sad, because it's all about being a teen, is finding yourself, your identity, independence, self-exploration, and all of those things. That's a social is a huge part of teen life. And I feel really bad.
All right. Well, we'll have to wrap it up with that. I want to thank both. I want to thank everybody, actually. Elizabeth Findus, Tamara Smith, and Blake Hearn. Thank you again, Tamara and Blake, for giving me your lunch hour, at these days. I appreciate it. And thanks to both of you for actually responding to my Facebook post. I was just looking for some parents who were willing to share what it's been like thus far. And I think it was a pretty engaging conversation. So thank you all for joining.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you, Craig. It was great.
Well, and what we may do is check in again as this progresses and see how everybody's handling things. So we'll keep this time in mind, because this seems to be a time when people can do this sort of thing. So it's the lunch hour conversation. All right. Well, thank you for joining me on the program today. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Craig.
Special thanks to my guests, Elizabeth Findus, Tamara Smith, and Blake Hearn on today's program. I do appreciate hearing from them quite a bit. And like I said, we will catch up with them as the school year goes on and see how things are going for them. Hey, thanks for checking out the show today. I certainly do appreciate it. A quick update for you coming up tomorrow. It is the week that was on Deadline Detroit, and boy, what a week this has been. Bob Woodward dropping a bombshell yesterday. Of course, it's going to sell him books, but it's about a lot more than that. What did we learn from it? I'm sure my panelists will have a lot to say on tomorrow's program. We always do. And excited to have attorney Todd Perkins joining us, as well as psychologist Lynn Walsh on the program as my special guest. So that's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. We do that live at 11:30 on Facebook Live, also on Deadline Detroit's YouTube page live. You can watch it in those locations. You can find it on the Craig Folly Show page on Facebook or my personal page. But if you want to comment, if you go to the show page and comment there, apparently it will let those through. But if you try to do it on my personal page, you'll have to get permission. It's really weird. We'll have a note on there tomorrow to help you do it. But if you want to comment while we're talking live tomorrow, again, I want your input. So if you go to the Craig Folly Show page on Facebook, and just click on that, follow it, like it, whatever you got to do, it will allow you to comment, and I will see those. So then I can work your comments into the conversation that way. That should be a lot of fun. All right, special thanks again to my sponsor, James Oliver Coffee. Don't forget, you've got that promo code. Check out their website, jamesolivercoffee.com. jamesolivercoffee.com. I'll say that 10 times fast. But I do want you to check it out. There is a promo code, CFSHOW. If you go there, you buy something, your first order, 15% off. It is amazing coffee. You know me. You know I'm a caffeinated person. I'm a huge, huge coffee fan, and I just bought a new maker that's got a grinder built in, and I'll tell you what, I'm digging my coffee right now. They've got this country French stuff that I'm digging quite a bit, and I've got now a couple of other blends that I've got to try. So, you know, I'm trying to drink more so I can try more stuff. But isn't that the way it's supposed to work? Again, jamesolivercoffee.com. Special thanks to them. Have a great day, everybody. Tomorrow, live the week that was at 11:30 on Facebook Live and on Deadline Detroit's YouTube page. You can watch it there if you want. Really looking forward to that. We've got a lot to talk about, and I will see you then. The Craig Folley Show is made possible in part by Deadline Detroit. Deadline Detroit has some of the best journalists in the city. We're asking you to support independent local journalism by joining our $3 a month membership. By joining, you become eligible to win prizes, including tickets for sporting events and gift cards to some of Detroit's best restaurants. Just go to our website and click the ad at the top or go to www.deadlinedetroit.com/membership.